You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Balls.
Oh, you say that.
Hello, my friend. Welcome.
I was getting there.
Hello, my friend. I'm going to just ignore you guys. Welcome to episode number 197 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with... George.
That'd be me. George. George Tripsis.
And we also have with us again...
Hey, guys. It's me, Justin, from Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
Justin, the metal detector.
The metal detector.
We're going to be detecting some metal, I anticipate, later in this episode. If you guys are watching us live or going to, yeah, this is just a surprise live stream. We're doing our recording of the episode. We decided just to go out there and see what happens. Anybody going to join in?
So for the people that are going to watch this, you saw Carrie's little intro graphic where it counts down. Wouldn't you love to see George like pointing like this when it says balls as the last slide of that? We keep trying to get him to add it. So
we could possibly make that happen. We'll have to find out.
If you think that's a fun idea, reach out to Carrie.
Yeah, email, msrcast@gmail.com or Metal Geeks on all the socials. There you go. If enough people request it, it could happen. They just have to be not George's balls. That's all I request.
Well, I mean, it will just be balls. Will it matter whose balls it is?
It will matter because I don't want to know. So how you guys doing? How's everybody's mental health recently? Everybody doing good?
Yeah. I've been good, man. I'm sorry I missed the last few episodes. I just been really busy with life and work and all that stuff. Yeah.
And passing through stuff and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you know, going to the hospital.
Passing through life.
Yeah, passing through things.
or vice versa, the other way around.
Yeah, things are passing through me versus me passing through them.
Yeah. How are you, Justin?
Too busy taking a shit to join the show. That's what's going on.
It's exactly it. I've been sitting on the toilet. Anyone who's listening, they're thinking, well, what the fuck is he talking about? Yeah, just been sitting on the toilet. Every time you guys ask me if I want to be on the show, I'm like, no, I'm too busy pooping. Later.
Yeah, the last couple episodes we've been doing a live stream. So we've had Riley McShane from Elysian on. And before that, back in January, we had a great episode with Matt Harvey from Exhumed. They've been a lot of fun.
These live streams are a lot of fun.
I love doing the live streams. I love being able to get people that are in the music scene, that are metal bands, that are actually super geeky too. I have an idea for the next episode. I don't want to jinx it yet, but I'll talk to you about it later. I have somebody in mind that'll be really cool.
Cool.
What have you been up to, Justin? How are you?
I'm doing good. Been watching a lot of movies as usual. Listening to a lot of music and working out a bunch. Ever since I got that punching bag, I've been out there in the garage pretty much every other night, just pounding away.
It looks cool.
I love it. It's one of the best things I've bought in years. I used to do martial arts. I did Taekwondo until I was about 15 or 16 years old. And then we talked about that before, George. But
yeah,
once I stopped doing it, I kept eating like the same amount I was eating before I quit doing it.
Yeah,
which is how I started gaining weight, and it's been a constant problem my whole life. So I'm always trying to get into working out and be consistent with it, but I keep, you know, struggling as all people that have weight problems do.
How is it? Yeah, exactly. How is it working for you?
I'm loving it. Like, I feel so motivated just because it's something I enjoy doing. So I'm out there doing all kinds of martial arts stuff I haven't done in years, but also just working out with the bag, doing like boxing stuff that I've never really done before.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying it. And then I'm lifting weights. I got my weight bench out there and a bunch of new free weights. And I'm just working out a bunch. It's been great.
I've been doing
the lesson is don't fuck with Justin because he will
kick your butt.
He will kick your ass.
I am a few months into the DDP yoga, so which has been really great so far.
I'm getting DDP a little bit more yoga.
Diamond Dallas Page yoga. It's not for your mama.
The wrestler?
Yeah. He has his own yoga program, and I've known a lot of people that have actually used it and utilized it, and they've lost a lot of weight, and they've gotten stronger and all this kind of stuff. So I was looking for something like that, something new and different, not just because I haven't been to the to a gym since the pandemic started. I don't feel comfortable there.
What is this word gym? I never heard of gym. Is that a person?
It's a person as well as a place you can go to, and they have these equipment that you can like
George,
put
George
weights
just has
on.
A super hyperactive dog, and I'm sure that's enough of a workout for him right. Most days.
Most of the time it is, believe it or not.
But I've been really enjoying the DDP yoga. I was not feeling well this past weekend, so it took me a little bit back to get back into it this week, but yeah. I'm excited for it. It's gotten me feeling better, looking a little bit better. I can actually almost touch my toes now, which I'd never been able to do before. My getting a lot of, things my body couldn't do before. Just a lot of
flexibility
and all these good things. So it's,
bodies are so weird, man. Cause like I'm a fat guy. I've been a fat guy most of my life, but like when I was a kid, I was flexible as hell. Like I could put my legs behind my head and walk around on my hands for like hours at a time. And like,
I've never been flexible myself.
Do that now, you pull something.
Yeah, I know. But when they had those presidential fitness tests or whatever, I was always like the guy who could stretch the longest or the guy who could do the splits or the guy who could, you know, whatever. I've always had incredible flexibility. And like, even though I haven't done any of this martial arts stuff in years and years and years, I still have that flexibility. Like I can still kick over my head. It's bizarre. It's bizarre that I can still do that.
We have a comment for you, George. It's specifically for you.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, all right. She knows what we're talking about.
So I'm glad everybody's doing well. I've been watching since I had a little bit of downtime over the weekend, not feeling well. In the past week or so, I've been trying to go through a process of watching movies I've never seen before in my life, which I don't know why I haven't.
Congratulations.
I started it, and then this, I want to get some recommendations from you guys too. But I started back in October with all these horror movies I'd never seen, and I'm trying to move it forward and watch movies I've never seen before, but I've always wanted to. Like we did Jaws, we did all these other movies. So last week I decided.
It still boggles my mind that you've yet to see it. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, you finished it from beginning to end.
Jaws. Yes, we watched that probably middle of our pandemic.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Did you like it?
I loved it. I don't know about watching the other ones in the series, but...
Oh, dude, you have to watch the other ones. The other ones...
Do I?
They only get more ridiculous, but they're also as much fun. And by the time you get to the one with Michael Caine, then that's when, like, all logic is out.
Michael Caine did one?
Yeah.
There's... Carrie, there's a reason that the Sharknado movies exist and are so incredibly popular.
Oh, I know.
It's because shark movies won't let you down.
And I'd been on the Jaws attraction so many times, but never
actually
watched
the movie. The Jaws attraction is technically based on Jaws 2.
Is it?
Yeah.
So you gotta watch Jaws 2.
I gotta watch it now. Yeah. So HBO Max just added all the Rocky movies to its lineup.
Oh man, I watch those at least once a year.
I've never seen it before. So
September or so.
Yeah, I've never seen it before, so I started with the first one. I'm like, oh, this is actually...
You've never seen a single Rocky movie?
No.
Or you just never seen...
The originals. I apparently... Okay, so to jump ahead, I've made it past Rocky V, and I started on Rocky Balboa today, which is the one that came out...
Which is actually surprisingly good.
It came out in like the mid-2000s, right?
Terrible.
Apparently, I've seen that because I recognized a lot of stuff going on, and I've seen Creed 1 and Creed 2 already.
Yeah.
But I had never seen the original Rocky movies. It's just something that really never interested me, and I really liked the first movie. It was really well done.
The first three are really good.
And don't count 4 out. 4 is my favorite, man.
Okay.
It's the best.
We're about to get there.
So I'm trying to remember the numbering. Which one is the one where he's training that white kid?
That's 5.
That's 5.
I watched that
the worst
today,
one for sure.
And the people warned me that it's the worst one, and I totally agree.
It's the worst one. But the rest of them are like really fucking good. And there's a reason the first one won an Oscar. So
yeah. The Rocky V didn't feel like it shouldn't even been necessary. Like the plot was not good.
Rocky V feels like a bunch of studio execs were like, hey, we're on this money making train. Let's make another one. We'll write the plot and just put a bunch of like random shit in there. And that's what happened.
Right.
Yep.
Rocky Balboa, I thought was going to be the same trend, but it actually is not bad.
I agree. I like Rocky Balboa a lot.
The relationship between him and his son in Rocky Balboa is way better than Rocky V.
I just love Rocky IV. I mean, I love the Ivan Drago fight.
I must break you.
He's my favorite of all the villains, you know. And then you got all the cheesy stuff with the robot and the Happy Birthday, Polly, and you know, all the ridiculous stuff they put in there that makes no sense at all, but is just so endearing and hilarious.
A weird fun fact about Rocky IV is Ivan Drago, or Dolph Lundgren, who played Ivan Drago, punched Sylvester Stallone so hard in the chest that it caused his heart to swell and gave him a heart attack.
Really?
Yeah. And they had to cancel shooting for like a month.
He told him he was going to break him, so.
Because Stallone told him, like, during the first match, whatever, while filming, to like hit him as hard as he could to make it look realistic. And he punched him hard in the chest, and then he had to go to hospital later that day. Turns out him getting punched in the chest by Dolph Lundgren at that time is the equivalent of getting hit by a truck.
It looked very realistic. I'll say that much.
I mean, there's a reason they picked Lundgren to be He-Man.
Cool trivia for you.
I did not know that. I mean, I enjoyed all the movies, really. The only character, some of the characters were very over the top, and not like the movie Over the Top, but from the 80s, but like
Over the Top is great too.
Polly, his good friend Polly, was like very, very, very over the top. Yeah. And then, Mickey, the trainer. Like, yeah. Wow.
I mean, he's iconic though. Great. I mean,
iconic. Yeah.
You know, he's been the benchmark for all other, you know, boxer coaches.
Yeah.
You know, every video game you ever played, there's always punch like up. Old disgruntled guy.
Yep.
You
know,
get him.
His anytime voice, you've man. Seen an underdog fighting movie that has a trainer in it, I'm kind of basing it off of that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I enjoyed them all, really. So I'm going to finish Rocky Balboa, and then I don't know, maybe watch the Creed movies again, so they'll make more sense to me now. I don't know.
And they'll hold more weight, and you'll see how much of a formulaic movies they are.
Yeah. And based off that, we signed up for a year of Paramount Plus last week. We got it for it was like half price. So it was like comes out to like $2 a month, you know.
How did you get that deal? Was it a code or something?
Yeah, there was just a code. I think the code was like year. So if you go to their website and sign up for it, you have to change it from the monthly to the yearly and put in the promo code year capital, I believe it was. And you got it for half price.
Oh, well, there you go. Everyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Get your half price to Paramount TV.
Are you
planning to watch anything on Paramount?
I tell you what I started watching as a movie series that actually features the same actress that's in the Rocky movies. Do you know where I'm going with this?
A movie series that has the actress from Rocky.
Yep. She plays Rocky's wife in the Rocky movies.
Okay.
And this is a movie. Justin's looking up his phone. He's like, I got to figure out who this is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's a trilogy of movies. I had never seen it before. It's so iconic. So many lines you know from it, but I had never seen them before, ever in my life.
Which is it?
I'm going to wait for Justin to figure it out.
I actually got to look it up.
Her name is Talia Shire.
Oh, Godfather?
Yep.
She's in those movies?
She's the sister, Connie.
Oh my god, she's barely in those movies. Oh my god.
She's in it.
She was the star. She was the star.
Are you telling me you've never seen Godfather?
I just told you I've never seen any of the Godfather movies until this weekend.
Harry,
I'm telling you.
You should just leave your house right now.
Why? I'm staying home to watch movies.
Just leave this broadcast and go watch those movies.
I've never seen them. I don't know why I've never watched them, but I really enjoyed them. The third one I watched today, maybe not as much.
The director's cut, or did you?
I watched the Coda version, the director's cut. I haven't. It's because the other version is not on there.
Oh, gotcha. I haven't seen the newer cut of Godfather 3, so I don't know what it's like.
It's interesting.
I mean, how would you know? You have nothing to compare it to.
Well, it's true. Yeah, I've never seen the original cut. So it's like another movie we're about to talk about later, another director's cut.
All right.
I enjoyed all of them. The third one, not as much. A little more convoluted, a little more confusing.
They're all classics, but
yeah,
they're also really fucking slow. And
no, they are. They're all like 2.5, 3 hours of movies, you know?
I don't know. Godfather 2 is still great. I don't think it's slow at all.
Two's the best one, in my opinion. But I mean, you know, they're all worth watching one time for sure, but none of them are films I want to go back and watch over and over again.
So interesting facts about the actress I was talking about, Talia Shire. Her brother is Francis Ford Coppola.
In real life?
In real life. And her son.
She wasn't in more movies then.
Yeah, no, I guess she gave it up for something to have a kid. You know,
she was in a lot of movies. Like, when I just looked her up, she's in like a laundry list of movies you've never seen before.
Right. You know who her kid
probably
is?
Probably for good reason, I imagine.
You know
who's her kid?
Jason Schwartzman.
Oh, yeah, weird.
I knew Schwartzman was part of the Coppola family, but I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I didn't know he was related. So he's a cousin of everybody. So,
yeah. Yeah, so
I watched
Nicholas
Slackers
Cage.
Yesterday. Yeah. I haven't seen Slackers in like years.
Me either. So going off those two movie franchises
for a second,
I haven't watched Hackers in years either.
So going off those two movie right there, what other series should I watch?
Or movies should I watch? Paramount Plus?
Or anywhere?
Dude, that's such a big question.
Yeah.
I would have to look to see what's available on Paramount Plus to really like say, oh, you should definitely see this.
I mean, like give us a genre or something and we can toss it in.
Yeah, two movies I just talked about, you know, like series and like Godfather. I actually really, really love, you know, mafia films and stuff like that.
You seen The Departed?
Oh yeah,
The Departed.
The Departed.
Man, I don't know.
Okay, can I say one I've never seen before?
Sure.
Scarface.
Never seen what?
Scarface.
Scarface.
Nope.
You should watch Scarface then. I mean, it's so many people's like favorite movie. There's all these frat boys who love it. I mean,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, but. It's not something that I want to watch like very often.
And it's so weird that between 1 and 2, which I know were both done in the 70s, and 3 of The Godfather was like 1990, how different Al Pacino was as an actor.
Well, Al Pacino's a great actor. He's done a lot of diverse stuff.
He was a great actor up until like the mid-90s.
He was a great actor up until he did that Adam Sandler movie.
I was about to say the Adam Sandler movie.
It ruined his career.
When you fall in love with Adam Sandler as a female, the career stop right there. He was great. And what was that Amazon series that came out last year about the Nazi hunters?
Shit, dude, they got a lot of fucking movies on here.
All right, I'm just gonna go through my voodoo and name off some stuff. I don't know. You should see if you haven't seen it.
This is the game now. I'm gonna hit my buzzer.
Have you seen American Hustle?
Maybe yes.
American Psycho.
No.
You need to watch American Psycho.
You should probably pick classic movies.
Analyze This.
Have
you seen Analyze This?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I've seen a lot more comedies in my life than a lot of other stuff.
Have you seen Annihilation?
Maybe. Is that, what's her name?
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman, about the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so, yeah.
Argo.
Yes. Argo, fuck yourself.
You're about to say Argo, fuck yourself.
Baby Driver.
Yep. We saw that in the theater.
That's why I'm saying we need to go more classics.
Yeah.
It's the classics movies that he's not.
I can't think of classics. Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Blade Runner 2049.
I was there with you.
Have you seen Blue Streak?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were there. I forgot.
Blue Streak. Who is that?
Martin Lawrence.
Oh, God.
It's a real classic.
Probably.
It's a great movie.
In a very stretch of a word. What about Crocodile Dundee or Crocodile Dundee 2?
Yes, I have.
All right.
Apparently, there's a new Crocodile Dundee movie that came out like in the past few months.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I've seen the poster for it. I just haven't watched it.
Close Encounters?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Clockwork Orange?
Yes.
Okay.
Been a long time, though.
You didn't sound too sure about that.
The name of the show was Al Pacino. It's called Hunters. The voice, yeah, we can actually, the voice from the other room chimed in. There you go.
Have you seen Harlem Nights with Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor?
Yes, I believe so.
Escape from LA, Escape from New York.
Yep.
Event Horizon.
Yes.
That's a great movie.
I love Event Horizon.
I haven't seen the first couple of Rambo movies.
Face Off. We should watch the Rambo movies.
You should definitely watch the Rambo movies.
They're
all good.
All right.
Except
I know
the new ones.
I know I've seen some Rambo movies, like original. I just don't remember which ones I've seen.
So like, just start over and watch
three
them.
Three are pretty great.
I'll watch them, Oval, if I can find them. Yeah.
I know you and I went and saw the newest one in the theater.
That's right.
It was like one of the last movies I saw before the pandemic.
What was it called? The Last Stand or something like that?
Something like that.
Someone explained to me that the Last Stand, that the director really wanted to make a Friday the 13th movie. So it kind of comes off that way.
There are some moments where he seems unkillable. Yeah.
There was definitely some moments that were very brutal too, like overly brutal.
You seen The Fifth Element?
Have you seen The Phantom?
Yes, that Fifth Element is actually one of my favorite movies.
Ghost in the Shell?
No.
Anime
or live action? No.
The anime.
No.
Yeah, skip the live action.
I'm not an anime guy, but you know.
I mean, there's a lot of bad ones, but there's some classics too. If you're looking for classics, that definitely falls in there, just like Akira. Goonies.
Of course. I actually saw Goonies in the theater. I have a story. I used to visit my grandmother in the in Fort Lauderdale, like Pompano Beach area every year. Mm-hmm. And she dropped me off to go see the Goonies in the theater by myself as a kid.
Did you watch The Prestige yet?
No.
You need to watch The Prestige.
Okay.
That's my favorite Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, I said that. You weren't here for the movie episode we did last time, so I mentioned that to him. But
Prestige, okay. I'm making notes.
Have you seen The Crying Game?
Yes, actually I have.
Damn it.
Don't spoil it for me.
I mean, believe me.
are you opposed to watching foreign films at all?
Depends on what it is. Maybe.
Yeah, there's a movie called I Saw the Devil. It's a Korean crime / thriller movie. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's really fucking good. I think you'd enjoy it. So I recommend that one very highly.
Yeah, I don't mind.
If you watch that, you should definitely watch Parasite right after.
And Parasite. Parasite's really good as well.
I watched that.
It's on the same level of it being as good.
Yeah, it is. They're both great.
Okay.
Have you seen the Lookout with Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No.
That's really good. You should check it out.
I like him, too. We have the same last name.
What the fuck is this other guy from Dumb and Dumber? He's in it as well.
Jim Carrey?
No, the other one. Will come to me later.
Yeah, I'm having a brain fart. I can't think of his name.
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels, thank you.
Yeah.
Amazing in Newsroom, if you haven't seen Newsroom yet.
Yeah, Newsroom is fantastic.
I'm looking what's on Paramount Plus for you, Carrie, so you can have something.
Have you seen Kingpin?
Oh, yeah. I love
Kingpin. Okay.
Like I said, I've seen a lot
Road
of comedies.
To Perdition?
Road to Perdition? No.
Oh, dude, that's great. Sam Mendes movie. Hey, Looper? It has Paul Newman.
Looper,
in it,
yeah.
Too.
I've seen Gooper, too, but that's a different movie.
That's gross.
I'm not even going to describe the plot of Gooper.
Have you ever seen Amelie? It's a French movie.
I don't know if that one would interest me. I know about it, but
you haven't. Did you watch any of the Aronofsky films after we talked about them last time? Have you seen Requiem for a Dream?
No.
Or Black Swan or Mother?
No.
All of those.
You should watch The Wrestler.
The Wrestler, that's another great one.
Yeah, The Wrestler is probably like a good entry point. If you don't like that, you probably won't. Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't like that, you probably won't like the others.
That's probably fair. No Country for Old Men?
I have seen that. I enjoyed that. I actually saw that in the theater, I believe. Very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we can do this
all day. But let's move on.
Name movies.
Y'all just text me movies to watch and I'll do it. There's a couple of TV series I want to talk about real quick. Justin, did you see the South Park with a Q vaccination special?
I did.
I saw that as well.
You saw it? All right. Yep. Justin, your opinion, please.
I thought it was fucking hilarious. They did the pandemic special a few months ago, and it was okay. Like, it had some good moments, but this was much better. This was much more in line with traditional South Park style stuff.
Yeah.
I think what made this funny for me is that I don't know very much about QAnon. So Catherine was explaining to me while we were watching it, like, yeah, they actually believe this shit. And I'd be like, what, really? And that led me down to a weird rabbit hole to, you know, figuring out that people who believe in QAnon are just crazy people.
Yeah, I had already been down that rabbit hole, unfortunately. So it was already funny for me. I mean, and I'm glad that, you know, Garrison is back in town and Mr. Hat's come back. Like, the way they brought about all that was pretty well thought out. I'm excited for the next season.
I love all the old people
in this moment too.
Which one?
Yeah, the old people, you know, hazing, razzing all the youngsters because they got vaccinated
first.
They're gonna
go party. Yeah, they're gonna go party it up and shit. It's hilarious.
I mean, it was well done.
Yeah,
you know, that's all you can really say. I mean, South Park is one of my favorite things in the whole world, and
at least they're not focusing on the Randy Marsh's like marijuana company anymore.
It was starting very to get nice to get a reprieve from Tegrity Farms. That is true.
Yeah. Starting to get a little bit old.
I think that was the entire joke of the last four or five episodes of the last season, was that it was old and they were just going to keep hammering it until it became funny again, which they succeeded at. The final episode was great, but up until that point, man, it was kind of a slog.
I want to talk about this show that I started watching. I've only watched the first two episodes. It's called Debris. I think it's on NBC. Yeah, NBC. I really enjoy it. It's done by the same one of the creators that did Fringe, so it has a definite like weirdness to it. I hope they don't cancel it because they're known to do that, as they're known. So basically, weird wreckage, like alien wreckage, starts to fall from the sky all over the world, and it starts to have weird effects on things. So people will start floating, or weird things are happening to people or places in the world. And it's turning out to be like this, you know, weekly what's going on, new event based on what's happening, you know, with the debris falling somewhere. I really enjoy it. The main people are pretty good. They're building up a huge, you know, storyline of people, you know, you're not supposed to know about yet. You know, I'm really enjoying it. I think you would actually really like this, Justin.
So it's like a monster of the week sort of thing with like an overarching story.
I'm not going to say monster of the week because there's really none. It's not like that yet.
Mystery of the week.
Yeah, maybe mystery of the week. Yeah. But there is an overarching story yet. I mean, if you liked Fringe at all.
I loved Fringe
up until season 4 and 5. Those were the worst seasons ever. But up to season 3, it was a really good show.
So it's created by the same guy, J.H. Wyman. Even the intro song, it's like this really cool acoustic weirdness that would fit really well on an Insomnium album. I'm like, oh, it's really cool.
I'll check it out. I mean, I've been watching lots and lots of stuff. I'm almost out of stuff to watch, so I'll check it out.
I think maybe they're up to episode 3 or 4 by now, so there's not much. You don't have to, you know, catch up too much, but I really enjoy it so far. I like weird shows like that. It's very, you know, Fringe-ish, X-Files-ish, that type of show, you know.
I like those types of shows too, but I also feel like they're overdone and they're kind of everywhere now, so I don't know. Like, I'll give it a shot, but if it doesn't grab me in the first episode, I probably won't stick with it.
I always give shows maybe a 2 episode or 3 at the most if I'm trying to get into it, but I don't know. What about you, George? How many episodes do you give a TV series?
It just depends. Like, if I feel like it has the potential to be good, I'll probably give it like 5 or 6 episodes at most. But I have to like really want to believe in the show. But if it doesn't catch me by the third episode, I'm like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, so I mean, check it out.
But I'm also really quick to drop out of a show if the show's not like keeping my interest anymore.
What? So,
really? You?
Me? What?
What? Yeah, so check it out. I think both you guys might like it. Just let me know. If you don't like it, I mean, no sweat
it's
off my balls.
Debris. Got it.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll check it out. I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Have you guys been playing any games recently?
Cyberpunk.
Games? No.
You still? Okay, Justin, don't hate me. I spent another 2 hours in Cyberpunk, and I got really bored. I was like, this is not for me.
You just got to go a little further, man. I mean, the beginning missions aren't that exciting, but once you actually get into the real story, like once you get first through the first act and Keanu's character shows up, everything changes.
I will try.
There's three main endings to the game, and then a hidden ending that you can only get if you've achieved a certain level of familiarity with Johnny.
Have you finished the game yet?
I've beaten all four endings.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually like 90% done with the game or so. I'm working on trying to 100% it, I haven't 100%ed a game in years. Like, I can't tell you how much I love Cyberpunk. It's one of the most fun games I've played in my entire life.
I know you've been saying you've loved it, so I'm going to... I have not gotten to Keanu yet, so I will.
That's the turning point. It takes a while to get there because, you know, like the first act is probably a good 10 to 12 hours long. Jeez. And then Keanu shows up and your whole everything changes, your whole perspective.
So Keanu doesn't show up till 10 to 12 hours into the game.
Well, it depends how many side missions you're doing and stuff. I bet if you just rush through everything, you can probably get to him in five. It's worth doing side missions and stuff to build yourself up a little bit.
Is that 10 hours into the game? Is that when the intro screen shows up, the logo?
Yes.
Really?
The game doesn't really start until Keanu appears.
Oh, my God. All right.
So
I've been playing the new Super Mario World game.
Oh, the remake on the Switch?
Yeah.
I have
Is
that.
Is it a remake?
Super Mario World 3D, yeah.
Oh.
It was a Wii U
before,
game.
So.
Well... There's two parts of it. There's that and the Bowser's Fury, right? Bowser's Fury is...
I haven't even touched the Bowser's
Fury. I have. I've been playing that one a little bit. That one is completely brand new based on the Super Mario World 3D, which was a Wii U game. I've been playing that, and I've been playing the Ghost and Goblins Resurrection. Like we talked about before, that game is so fucking difficult. And I was nervous to go back to a different game because I thought, to really beat the game, you have to go through twice, right? And the second run through is a little bit different. And I thought that if I went to play a different game and came back to it, I would lose everything. Luckily, that's not true. It actually saves your last spot that you were at, which is your last flag or whatever, which is great news. I was nervous about it.
The original was super tough, so I can only imagine the remake is tough, too.
It's great, but it's really difficult. I actually, after I tried going back into Cyberpunk, I went and started playing more Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So,
see, I loved Valhalla. I thought Valhalla was just so visually stunning, and just so there's like so many cool things in that game. But after I beat it, I had really no desire to go back and try to do more in the world.
Yeah, I haven't completed it yet, so I can definitely see where it will start to get tedious and boring a little bit.
I think part of the thing is that the ending is just so lackluster because it doesn't really end. It just sort of gets to a point where you can't continue, and then they're like, oh, this is what's going on, and it's not very well explained, and it's not an exciting ending, and it's not a very good conclusion.
They want you to buy the DLC for it.
They do. I understand that, but I don't know if I will. Probably not. I will buy Cyberpunk DLC. That's the first game I can say that about. I fucking love the game. I can't say enough good things about it.
You're the guy. You're the guy they made it for.
So I mean, I didn't even follow Cyberpunk. When everybody was talking about it and everybody was so hyped up about it, I was like, who fucking cares? It's you know, a random game with Keanu Reeves. Like, I had no interest in it at all. And even when I got it, I didn't play it. Like, I sat on it for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then I just ran out of stuff to do, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And oh my God, like a game hasn't hooked me this hard since like Halo 2.
I'm glad you like it, dude. That's great. It's what great. About you, George? What have you been playing? Anything besides the Super Mario?
Super Mario World. Yeah.
Cool. It's a lot of fun, man. It's a really good game.
Yeah, I enjoy it quite a bit. Catherine has kind of like taken over. She also enjoys the game quite a bit, too.
You got to get her so on Switch.
She's the one who's playing the most of it right now.
Do you have the regular Switch or the Switch Lite?
The regular Switch.
You need to go and buy her a Switch Lite, and then everything will be great.
Well, it needs to be able to dock to the TV. She likes to play on the TV.
Oh, so. Well.
Yeah.
Can't help you there.
Exactly.
All right, guys. I'm glad everybody's doing well. Everybody's been teaching me what movies I need to watch here. Speaking of movies, let's go into our topic. Our topic of this show is going to be recent superhero films and TV series, what we think about them. If we hated it, loved it, all that good stuff. So you guys ready?
Yep.
Let's do it.
I really want to hear George's opinion.
I'm going to pull a George here. I'm going to pull a George real quick.
No, you don't.
Do you really?
No one wants to know. That's the truth of the matter. I think the only time anyone really wants to know because they want to fight me on how wrong I am or whatever.
Yep, pretty much. All right, we'll be right back.
Sometimes I genuinely just like to hear it. That's what it is.
That's good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, let's get to our topic. We'll be right back. All right, my friends, we are back to the show. Our topic this evening is going to be superhero movies and TV shows that are in the pop culture zeitgeist right now. I hate that term, but I'm going to use it anyways.
Zeitgeist.
So
why do you hate that term?
I don't know.
Let's talk about that.
Let's not.
Therapy sessions with George.
So Metal therapy.
It's a new segment. Metal therapy.
I think we have our episode title right now. Zeitgeist Geekery. Let's talk about the big elephant in the room. The 4-hour bloated elephant, actually. Zack Snyder's Justice League. Everybody's seen it, right?
Yep.
Okay. George, hold your horses. We're going to get to you in a minute.
Justin, start with George.
You want to? Okay. No, I'm okay with
y'all
that.
Y'all can go first. No. I don't mind. Y'all can go first.
Okay, George, I am dying to know your opinion. Well, not really, but what's your opinion on Justice League, the Zack Snyder edition extravaganza?
Zack Snyder's Justice League. It was okay. Like I enjoyed it. There were parts of this movie that are like, oh, that was fun. And then when it wasn't fun, it was at the very least, it was interesting at parts. I think he was a little pompous of himself to like, I'm going to show these motherfuckers 4x3 because that's the full cut of the image and I'm not going to crop in at all. They're getting the whole sausage.
Well, wasn't it filmed in like IMAX cameras? So that's the reason why.
No, it was not filmed in IMAX. Not even a single frame of this movie was.
I heard it was, but
it wasn't. It was converted to IMAX because they wanted it to show the black and white version in theaters, but they realized that that's not going to happen anymore.
So he just shot it.
So anyway,
he just showed the 4:3 just to be pretentious.
No, it's the uncropped image of the video. Right. But if you remember in the original Justice League, that whole image is there. He just refused to crop in.
Yeah.
So anyway, like I said, it flows a lot better. It's a better structured film. I have a hard time remembering what happened in the original cut of the Justice League.
I had the same problem. I couldn't remember.
I just remember there were parts of the original Justice League that I really liked too. Like I really liked some of the Superman parts, even though he had that rubbery CGI face. But I don't know. There were some good things about that movie that were better than this movie. And there were some really good things about this 4-hour epic that was better than the last movie. So
right. It's
really hard to compare the two because they're really two different animals. It's like four different people made the theatrical cut and then Zack Snyder's singular vision of this. And so at the end of the day, like, I'll eat crow here and I'll say, you know, I'm glad it exists. I know I've been dreading this moment for 4 years. I know it's been something I probably toted around saying is the stupidest idea ever. But, you know, now that it exists, I'm glad it does, because it got me to see a different version of this movie that was in some ways better and in a lot of ways really pretentious.
I am sometimes, when George talks about movies, I am sometimes not surprised about stuff, but I am very surprised about your reaction.
I'm not.
This is all the good stuff.
I thought you would hate it.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either. Like, yeah. I'm handling this with kid gloves in a sense, because the the fans for this are a little
toxic,
rabid at the toxic and rabid at the mouth. They really want to bite with teeth on this
kind of thing.
So I'm trying not to offend anybody in any serious way, but I'm also being genuine here, where I think there actually is some good things to this. On the flip side of this, there are a lot of bad stuff. Like, the story still doesn't make sense. It's stupid. Zack Snyder's proven to me once again that he doesn't know anything about storytelling or knows anything about DC characters other than the fact of how to make them look cool.
But he sure knows how to do a slow-mo.
He loves the fuck. I mean, if you took out all the slow-mo of this movie, I swear
it would only be like 2.5 hours.
It would be 2 hours. I swear it would only be 2 hours. Like, and then he really loves, he wants you to really understand that this is an adult superhero movie out of the how many times they use the F word and how like brutally they kill people in this movie. Wonder Woman vaporizes a guy. She doesn't she flat out crushes one dude's skull against the wall, and then she vaporizes the other dude. And then the girl right afterwards says, "I want to be just like you." That's really weird. This kid wants to be a mass murderer.
So she said it like Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, that's what I heard.
Really do a little yeah. So, I mean, they made Flash look really cool, but yet he was also really annoying. So,
he was more tolerable in this version, I think, than the original cut. Here's what let me real quick. So I
remember him being funnier in the theatrical cut. Like, I remember him being more enduring and fun.
You're remembering wrong. In the theatrical cut, they gave him a bunch of one-liners that made no sense for his character whatsoever. They were jokey and it made him seem like a complete amateur. And see, in this version, they make Flash kind of an established hero, but nobody knows he's a hero yet. Bruce is still kind of like, you know, all I have is one little bit of footage. I've never heard of the Flash, but he already has a suit. And he's kind of explaining why he already has a suit and why it's so well developed is because he's been out being the Flash. So,
right. You
know, he knows how to use his powers. He already understands, like, he can go to the speed of light. He already understands how to, like, generate electricity. But, like, in the other version, all those things were just like, well, maybe I can do it. I don't really know. You know, and then, like, a lot of stupid one-liners when he ran up to the Russian people and he's like, Dostoevsky. And like, they cut all the bullshit out of the movie with Flash and added in some scenes that really emphasized his character and made him seem more capable, which I liked.
They definitely kept that Aquaman saying, "my man" line, though.
They did keep some stuff in, which made it a little bit awkward, but they eliminated a lot of the cheesiness and the stuff that made Flash seem unprepared.
So I have a couple comments real quick. So I enjoyed it. I wasn't a fan of the regular version. I know it was a lot of interaction or interruptions by the studio and all that kind of stuff. And with Joss Whedon trying to make his version in the studio, but whatever. Regardless, it feels like they were trying to, in the regular version, they were trying to stuff a bunch of stuff that was like a Marvel Cinematic Universe. So they, all these other characters they were introducing that weren't set up before.
I mean, Zack Snyder is doing the same thing in this one. That's why this movie is 4 hours long.
I know. I'm saying
in the original, they tried to do it without so much exposition, right. But in this one, they included the exposition, which there was really so much helped those characters exist.
The bloated runtime,
which was kind of poorly handled.
The bloated runtime of this movie.
I'm sorry, but the Martian Manhunter thing was so stupid. It was just so stupid.
Which one? The one when he was
the whole thing. All, like, of them. All he of them. Exists.
All of the Martian Manhunter doesn't make any fucking sense. They
he exists and he's super powerful. And instead of stepping in to help them with Superman, and instead of stepping in to help with Darkseid, instead of stepping in to like do any of the big fights, he goes and disguises himself to talk to Lois. And then you don't see him again until the end of the movie. But I mean, he's like, I think this giant thing is going to happen, but I'm not going to get involved. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines. It makes no sense, like, at all for his character.
All right. So, so with this bloated runtime of the movie, they were able to go back and give Cyborg and Flash and Aquaman more time to develop his characters, which they should have done.
Was a train wreck too.
They should have done that previously in a different movie or their own film. The way Mark,
I don't think so. Cyborg's not that interesting of a character. I don't like.
It really isn't.
His origin is not that interesting. He can be an interesting character. There's a lot of cool stuff that happens in Cyborg's world.
I like the Doom Patrol Cyborg better.
His origin is not that interesting. I don't think you can devote an entire movie to Cyborg unless you're going to do like a high school drama sort of thing, and then at the end of the movie he becomes Cyborg, which, you know, isn't really that exciting to see. Aquaman, they gave an origin story to. It was fine. Flash, yes, they could have done a lot more, but people were at the time were already watching the Flash show on TV, so it would have been conflicting with that and people's visions of who the Flash was. And there's a lot of discussion.
Aquaman movie came out after Justice League, though.
It did, but they did go back and give him that origin story. And I mean, they just said it was released out of order. You know, it is what it is. But I don't know. I enjoyed the original Justice League more than most people did. And I watched it fairly recently, I think back in December, maybe November.
I haven't watched it since it first came out, too.
It was pretty fresh in my mind going into this. And I was not somebody that was clamoring for a 4-hour long Snyder cut. I didn't really care one way or the other, but it is quarantine. It is the pandemic. So all new movies are good movies, even if they're not really new. So I watched it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was much better done than the original. There's a lot of major flaws in the storytelling.
But the flaws come from script, though.
Not necessarily. Some of it comes from his artistic direction. Like the entire first 30 minutes of the movie, he adds in all these really artsy scenes that just get borderline annoying. Like the stuff with the women singing the music when Aquaman comes from the sea and the lady sniffing his shirt. Like it doesn't fucking need to be there.
That was super weird as shit.
It contributes nothing.
They could have cut that out way sooner, but
you know, we don't need to see
trying to add some world building is what.
I understand that. And I understand like why they have to show Batman trekking through the mountains to get there. But like all of that could have been greatly abridged. A lot of the stuff in the first 30 minutes could have been shortened, but they wanted to kind of show where everybody is. And they did it in extremely artsy ways, which is fine, except they didn't continue it throughout the rest of the movie. They did artsy shit for 30 minutes and then they're like, here's action, you know, and here's a bunch of jumbled storytelling. It's not a perfect movie, but it is a lot of fun. It's a lot more fun than the original was. And I definitely agree on that. Like if I give the original like a 70, I'd probably give this one an 85. Like it's not a perfect movie by any means, but it's a lot of fun.
For people who have not seen it yet, the plot is basically the same. The only thing
really
we get
changes.
Right, we get the benefit and the addition of Darkseid is actually the real villain, which is super cool. I love Darkseid as a kid. I used to have the action figure.
They could have used a lot less Darkseid.
I don't think so.
I think they did a good job with Steppenwolf giving him an arc. I thought that was a cool idea.
The flashback
but he still
sequence
looked like dog shit though.
Yeah, the flashback sequence with Darkseid fighting against the armies of everybody was stupid. It went on for way too long. It was visually very cool, but it didn't add anything to the story. Like you could have told an abridged version of that, like they did in the original, and it would have been just fine.
And Steppenwolf, do you guys agree? He looked much better in this version. Like they got it right.
I don't remember what he looked like.
Sometimes he did, and sometimes he did not. Sometimes he looked too much like the fucking Destroyer from Thor 2.
Oh yeah, with the costume. Yeah, I could see that.
There were some great additions though. The battle with the Amazons was so much better in this one than it was in the original.
Really good. Like, I wish Wonder Woman, the last Wonder Woman movie was like this.
When Wonder Woman breaks into the bank to fight those terrorists, she's moving at like double the speed she was in the original. And I mean, she was moving pretty fast in the original to begin with, but they really ramped up her powers and kept her stronger throughout. Yes. I think Snyder, one thing he did better than the original version is that he really kept a close eye on everybody's power levels and like let them live up to it throughout the story. There wasn't as much inconsistency with people's skills as it went on. Cause like Superman taking the full force blow with the axe and like not even flinching was like spot on. That was a great scene. The changes they made towards the end of the movie, I thought were all really good. The way they ended the final battle. Again, there's still that weird pointless thing of why does Batman have to destroy the dome so everybody can get in when, you know, Wonder Woman could clap her hands together and do the same thing and they could all just go together, you know, or they
Batman needed something to do.
It's exactly what it is. Like Batman served no purpose in the movie. Except bringing everybody together. And once that was done, it was kind of why is he here?
They fucking remind you every fucking 5 minutes that Bruce Wayne brought this goddamn team together.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if I heard that one more time, I was going to throw something at my team.
You can make a drinking game out of it.
But that's the thing. He did a good job of like getting right to the point where it was going to annoy you and then stopping. He did that several times throughout this movie because I was getting irritated with a lot of stuff. And then he just stopped doing it. And I'd be like, okay, well, on to the next thing. That happens so many times in the movie.
I mean,
on to the next annoying part.
The worst thing of this movie, besides the Martian Manhunter, was all the nightmare sequences.
I have mixed opinions about that because
so fucking stupid. Okay. It felt so out of place.
It does feel stupid and out of place.
Obviously, tell nobody was in the room when they filmed it.
It does feel out of place. I feel like if it had been a post-credit scene and it had been, you know, Flash reappearing to talk to Batman again or something like had happened the first time when he had that vision of it, you know, when he saw like a smaller portion of it, it would have been good. But to just have it there was really awkward.
If I'm remembering correctly, the nightmare scene we're talking about was the one that was in the epilogue of this one, but it wasn't in the original version of Justice League. Wasn't it Batman versus Superman or something like that?
It was in Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
Yeah. The first time you met.
But it was a different version of it.
Even in this, they allude to that again. Batman has a moment where he wakes up at his desk in the new Justice League and he remembers Flash appearing to him. So, I mean, they're doing a callback and then they're expanding on it when they get to the epilogue. But it's too much storytelling to actually be like a dream. And it's too much to be like a small vision of the future. So they're trying to establish it as like canon, which doesn't really work because
it's kind of like Zack Snyder doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, it's kind of like he was hoping or banking on this allowing him to make sequels because he wanted to be able to tell this post-apocalyptic storyline with Superman. But
have you heard what he wanted to do for the sequels?
I've heard some of the stuff. Some of it seems ridiculous and some of it seems fine.
It's stupid, is what it is.
Batman and Lois having a love story is like the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Wait, what?
That was one of the rumors of something he wanted to have happen in one of the sequels.
The official thing that was supposed to happen that I read recently that the nightmare sequence happens, Darkseid comes, they lose, and Batman could have saved Lois, but he decides not to and lets her die, which kind of leads to Superman being a bad dude. And then all of a sudden they figure out a way to save everybody. Flash goes back in time to change everything, but to do so, Batman has to sacrifice himself. Clark and Lois have a baby, but this baby has no powers. And so they decide to name him Bruce, and 20 years later they show him where Bruce Wayne used to be and how he used to be Batman. It's like, hey, don't you want to be the new Batman? Is basically how the movie ends. Kind of like the way Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
But
horrible.
With Superman and Lois's kid. Well, that's because Zack Snyder's a terrible screenwriter and a terrible storyteller.
It sounds like fan fiction.
it sounds like, I mean, all these are just rumors, though. None of this is confirmed. I mean,
he has a t-shirt with it on, with the plot points on the t-shirt.
Right. But he also just does stuff to fuck with people. So
that's, you know, maybe that's
true. Do you think the whole nightmare segment was just done so we could have Jared Leto's Joker in it?
Yes.
Well, yes, to a degree. Yes. Cause he said, he thought it was a missed opportunity that he never got a chance to film the scene with Batman and Joker together.
But I mean, there was so many other opportunities they could have shoehorned Joker into the movie instead of Martian Manhunter or something and, you know, made it more relevant to the plot.
There was a whole lot of things they could have done to make this movie better.
It wasn't even Leto's Joker. I mean, it was Heath Ledger's Joker with Leto's laugh. Like he acted exactly like Ledger did. and just did the stupid cackly laugh that he invented.
Goes to show Jared Leto's still a terrible Joker.
Yeah, he was a terrible choice for Joker. I still don't like it at all. I did like the expanded scene with Luther and Deathstroke. We had kind of known that existed to begin with, but I would have liked to see.
Yeah, that was supposed to be like the seed for the Deathstroke movie where he tries to go and kill Batman.
See, but that storyline would have actually been worth pursuing. Like a Deathstroke versus Batman movie could have been really good. And, you know, you could have introduced like a real Robin there and then even had Joker show up and kill Robin. That would have been fine. But all this nightmare stuff is just very contradictory to what they could have done.
If they can do a Death in the Family Batman movie, I'd be down for that.
It's too dark.
It's a cartoon.
It's too dark. All right.
All right. Well, there's our opinion. So final score, George, what's your final score out of what? Out of 100?
Out of 100?
Out of 100 million. You know, let's go 100.
It was a 7.
yeah, it's a solid 7 out of 100. No, no. I mean, I gave it a 5 out of 10 on IMDb, so 50, I guess.
Okay. I know, Justin, you already said like about an 85.
It's honestly, it's probably closer to an 8 out of 10. It's not a great, it's not a perfect movie, but it was fun enough that I'll definitely watch it again at some point.
I would say it's more like a 70, like a 7 out of 10 type of deal.
See, that's where I put the original. So
I didn't really like the original that much at all, but I don't know. See, I didn't
at
like.
At least, in my opinion, I forgot to mention this. I think Joss Whedon, as much as I think he's kind of a dick now, I think he understood Superman and Batman way better. And even you could tell he understood Superman because he actually saved people and interacted with people, even though he had the rubbery face going on. At least it was like a true, genuine Superman moment. Like he understood what that character was and what it meant to be Superman. And Zack Snyder doesn't get that, especially with the black.
Yeah, the suit. Black suit.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
he's like,
doesn't
I really wanted
sense.
The mullet and the beard, but they wouldn't let me do it.
It just doesn't even make sense why he has a black suit on. If he was buried in the black suit, that would have made a lot more sense. But he was buried in plain clothes, so.
But true.
I don't know what to tell you.
All right.
God, it's just
all right. Just,
so
just
many,
stop,
so many
George.
Wrong things. Yeah. All right.
Don't blow your mind on it. This we'll move on.
Yeah, it's Falcon, over now.
The Falcon
Warner
and the
Brother Winter, has said no more. So
the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. What did you guys watch it?
Yep.
Yeah, I watched it. It was great.
All right. Let's start with Justin then. What was your opinion? What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, they really should have called it the Falcon with sprinklings of Winter Soldier.
yeah. Well, it's the first episode. Come on.
The action with the Falcon in the desert with all the, that was actually really cool.
It was cool, but it was also like,
reminded me a lot of Top Gun or Independence Day.
It was problematic because like what I was talking about before, where Snyder managed to keep the characters at the correct power level. Like, I know that the Falcon is not Iron Man, but he should have zero trouble eliminating the threats in that particular sequence of events. Like, there shouldn't have been a need for a big elusive, because those people were not in like high tech, state of the art, you know, fighting suits or, you know, jets or anything. They were in fucking helicopters. Like, it should have been much, much easier for him to win that fight. It went on for too long.
But you're giving Falcon
George,
a lot.
George St. Pierre was in it, and he's a Who? Cool the French dude. He was also in the Winter Soldier. The bad guy in that first episode was also the first bad guy that Captain America went toe-to-toe with in Winter Soldier in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. That's interesting. I didn't put those two together.
No, that's not the same guy. It's not Batroc the Leaper.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
It's not Batroc the Leaper. No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Go back and watch the credits. It's the same actor.
It's not the same character, though.
Yes, it is.
I don't think so.
All right. I'm pretty sure it is.
Regardless, his talents were not being used in an aerial thing anyways, because his whole thing is he fights on the ground.
He jumps a lot.
And he jumps, yeah.
he does jump out of the helicopter quite a bit. Let's just
I don't know. All the stuff with the Falcon, it was fine. Like, I think they're doing a good job with the character aside from the...
Oh, man, the character stuff is probably my most favorite out of everything.
Aside from the actual fighting the character stuff was good. I do like that Bucky's having like trouble reconciling his past, and they're doing flashbacks and things he did as the Winter Soldier.
I hate to say this, but George, you were right. It is Batroc.
Okay.
Sorry, don't let it go to your head. We're done now.
Well, I mean,
I've been told.
That's the lesson is George is always right.
No, that's not the lesson I got out of it, but this time you were correct. I didn't put those two together.
George is better at identifying obscure French actors.
Right. Especially ones who look awesome and jumping around.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I was saying, I enjoyed all of the Bucky flashback sequence stuff and him coming to terms with being the Winter Soldier and trying to reconcile his past. All of that, I think, is great groundwork for the story going forward.
Mm-hmm. Is it just me or is this therapist kind of a dick?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Aren't all therapists?
Man, this is a really mean therapist.
It'd be hilarious if it turns out to be some MCU version of Dr. Bong or something.
Do you guys have high hopes for the series?
Yes.
So far, so good. I think this has a stronger start than WandaVision for me. I liked WandaVision, but I didn't love it. I thought there were some cool things about WandaVision, but as a whole, I thought WandaVision was kind of a misfire for me.
Isn't Falcon and the Winter Soldier supposed to be 6 episodes as well?
It's only 6 episodes, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really? So they'll be able to tell a more coherent story in a shorter amount of time, which is what I've been saying they need to do since we started talking about The Mandalorian. Disney Plus needs to be releasing 6 episode seasons, not 9 episode seasons, because they have a hard time doing that.
Yep. You're correct. It's only 6 episodes this season.
I do have some reservations about the U.S. agent storyline they're going to go with.
Didn't he look? He looked. Yeah.
Goofy.
All those memes that got created.
So, you know, that's Wyatt Russell, right?
Yeah, it's USA.
Oh, is it really? Like,
yeah, Kurt Russell's son. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. The guy from that fucking World War II movie that came out not too long ago.
Midway?
No, the one with like the zombie things in it. The fuck is that called?
The one with the guy from Agents of the Shield?
Yeah, he was in it for a little bit.
I know what you're talking about.
I can't think of it.
It's late. What do you want from me, guys? Y'all know.
I want the correct answer. What I want. Now. Yeah, I didn't realize that was him.
I love the memes. Though.
I saw it in the credits. That's how I knew it was him.
Have you seen the one that's like a shopping cart and has 3 pictures of Chris Evans and then a picture of that guy? And it's like when you get the shopping cart with the bad wheel.
The movie was Overlord, by the way.
Overlord. Yeah.
One of the best video game movies that wasn't a video game ever made.
Yeah, that's a completely different game.
Overlord was supposed to be a Cloverfield movie, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be a Cloverfield movie, and then they changed it at the last minute.
They're making a new Cloverfield movie.
They are, strangely.
Hopefully it's better than the last one.
I don't want to keep that promise.
I don't know if I liked this show as much as you guys have so far. It was okay for me.
The character moments in Falcon Winter Soldier were meant more and like had more depth than all of WandaVision for me.
I agree. Because they're already established characters that you already care about.
And not only that, like they kind of showed you like, real emotion in that first 40 minutes, however long the first episode is. And God, it took 5 episodes to show you any emotion in WandaVision.
I agree.
I don't. That's okay.
That's because you're a Vision fan.
I am.
I love Vision as well, but I didn't like. We've already been over this, but I didn't like the way WandaVision went on for so long without actually advancing the story.
I did.
I
can agree. This really jumps right into the story and all that good stuff, but I really enjoyed the first few episodes of WandaVision, and I know I might be in the minority here. I appreciated what they did, what they were going for.
You're not in the minority because, I mean, the fucking show did gangbusters and people loved it.
Well, no, but people didn't like the first couple episodes. That's that's just
I just feel like what they should have done is they shouldn't have done a week to week basis, especially for WandaVision. They should have just released a whole show all at once, and I think it would have played better.
I think that if they did the first four episodes,
they should have been less episodes, and it should have been less spinning wheels. So
if it had just been six, episodes, it would have been like top tier TV. Instead, it was second tier TV, and it was really good. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good as like it could have been. And that's the same problem that Disney Plus has been experiencing over and over again with their premium shows, is that they're always too many episodes. I feel like six episodes
too short.
6 to 7 episodes is chef's kiss perfect for what they're trying to do. They always have too much filler, though, and cutting out that filler just makes everything better. And I'm glad they're doing that with like two big name characters like Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I'm really interested in what they're gonna, if they're gonna continue this this turmoil that Sam is going through, and I wonder how they're gonna make Bucky and Sam kind of meet and team up.
Yeah.
Also, I understand there's supposed to be like three villains in this show. I wonder how that's gonna work out.
So Zemo is supposed to come back, right? Baron Zemo.
Yeah, he's on the poster, right?
Yeah. So what about what's the other guy?
Have this guy, this fake Captain America guy, and then you have
U.S. agent.
The people with the flag hand thing, whatever the fuck they're called. I forgot what they're called.
The what?
The terrorist group. The terrorist group with the masks.
Oh, okay.
Flag smashers.
There you go.
What was the guy that got stuck in that computer? He worked with Zemo.
MODOK?
No, not MODOK.
Arnim Zola.
Zola. That's what I was thinking of. Maybe they'll bring Zola back.
I mean, he died, so I think that's unlikely.
He blew up. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, the Flag Smashers really are going to be the show so far. Primary villain, it looks like. I mean, I'm just interested to see what they do with U.S. Agent. If they're going to make him a villain, or if they're going to try to keep him as a C-list version of Captain America.
Well, they got it. You don't cast an actor like Wyatt Russell, who's like really hot off of a few movies and TV shows, to have like a secondary role.
But I mean,
to be fair, he looked goofy as shit in that.
I'm not sure how familiar you are with like the U.S. Agent storylines or anything. But, yeah, you know,
I'm not very familiar.
He's basically like a B-list or C-list Captain America. And I mean,
like what I understand, he's supposed to be like angry all the time, right? Like he has like he's like an asshole.
No, that's Nomad. He was a different Captain America. U.S. Agent is basically the government's version of Captain America. Like they have complete control over him and what he does and how he acts. And
wasn't he in West Coast Avengers for a long time?
He was. He's been on a few different teams, but you know, he's never been a super important character except for the few minutes he was in the limelight right after he first appeared, which is what I think they're going to do here. He's going to be Captain America for a while and then going to be judged to be unfit to be the one carrying the shield.
Yeah,
and
somebody's going to get that shield back. It's not going to be him.
I think at the end, we're going to see Bucky pick up the shield and it's going to be his, which is what it should be.
Yeah.
What? You don't think it's going to actually be Sam? Because I thought they were going to follow the Sam Captain America's storyline.
I don't know, though, because, I mean, there is precedent for it because Sam does become Captain America in modern comics, but there's much more of a precedent for Bucky taking up
Batman's Bucky was, yeah, Bucky was Captain America and he had the shield way before Sam Wilson.
Way before Sam, yeah. So, I mean, it could go either way, but I think it'd be more interesting, especially for the forthcoming movies, if we have Captain America and the Falcon working together.
Well, can't someone else be the Falcon?
Not likely.
Hey, what was his?
I think it would be really cool for Sam to end up being.
I wouldn't hate it. If Sam is the one who takes it up, I wouldn't hate it. It would be fine. But
I kind of feel like that's what this whole show is about. It's about Sam gripping with the idea what it means to be Captain America to himself. As a person, as a hero, like what does it mean to wear the stars and stripes and so on and so forth? And how does he feel about it? And where does he fit in and all this? I think that's what this whole show is going to end up being about. And I really relish in that character development.
It's also going to, it's also going to be about Bucky trying to make up for his past mistakes, and what better way for him to make up for his past mistakes working against America than to take up the mantle and fight for America. Right?
Absolutely. No, you're not wrong, but I think it means more if Sam is the one who is like Cap and Bucky is the supporting guy. But that's just me, though.
Bucky's always the supporting guy. He's always the sidekick. He's got to be
the sidekick.
But he's the much more interesting character. I mean, I've read tons of comics from both of these characters, and I got to tell you, Winter Soldier is billion times more interesting than the Falcon.
I own Winter Soldier, and I think it's a really good comic. Ed Brubaker is one of my favorite comic book writers, favorite writers in general. I love all his stuff. So,
yeah. All right. So just today, as we're recording this, they announced that some of the upcoming Disney films have been changed and moved around a little bit. So now we're not getting a Black Widow until July, beginning of July, July 9th. And it's going to be in theaters and Disney Plus premiere the same day, which means
paid for premium yet.
I have
Mulan
not
or whatever.
No, Mulan. And then it did with the Mulan and then the Raya and the Last Dragon.
Something like that.
Those are the two so far. Yeah. Those are the two that's been premium pricing for Disney.
If everything is good with me, I plan to probably see it in a theater. I haven't been to a theater in so long. I don't know.
Black Widow?
Yeah. When we get closer to it, you know, we'll figure it out more. But there is also something very convenient about just being able to watch it at home, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the Taskmaster is like one of my top three characters of all time. So
I know that. Yeah.
I would love to watch Black Widow, you know, on the screen, but I don't know. I don't know where COVID's going to be. I don't know where the situation in the world's going to be. So
yeah,
we'll see.
All right. Well, so that means that Shang-Chi was supposed to come out in July. Now it's being moved later in the year. They haven't said anything about
that movie keeps getting pushed back all the time.
They're all getting pushed back. What about the Eternals? When is that coming out?
I thought that was still held for November.
Maybe.
No, it's November 5th.
Is it still November?
I have the list right in front of me.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, but it's been November since the beginning of this year.
Right, but if they're moving these back.
These are the confirmed dates. Loki's coming out June 11th. Black Widow, July 9th. What If is coming in summer of 2021. Shang-Chi is September 3rd. Eternals is November 5th. Miss Marvel is going to be later in 2021. They don't have a date. Same thing for Hawkeye. And then No Way Home comes out December 17th.
No Way Home,
the new Spider-Man
movie. Title.
Oh, Spider-Man. Okay.
Do y'all not hate that title? I hate that title.
That's a lot of for being a year and a half almost without any really Marvel. Okay, let's say a year without any really Marvel stuff going on. That's a lot in one small period of time. You know, what
it
I
is.
Mean?
Well,
a lot of that's going straight to Disney Plus, though.
Still, but that's it's a little. It gets to that overwhelming thing we talk about, like.
I don't think that's overwhelming. It's not like what they're trying to do with Star Wars, where there's like 13 new series coming out in the span of like 6 months. You know, it's movies that require 2 hours of your time invested into them, and then a couple of series that you can either take or leave. And not everybody's going to watch all the series. So,
yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch every single show either.
I will watch all of these, but in total, it's going to be 34 hours of time. That's not that much for an entire half a year.
I'm really excited for Loki, though. I think Loki's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I know the comic it's based on, and it was a great series. So
I agreed on that one. All right, guys.
What comic is it based on?
It was the modern run called Loki.
Well, who was the writer on it?
I could have told you if you hadn't asked me. Give me a second.
George, why did you ask
him? I'm curious because I want to check it out. I didn't realize it was based on something.
Do you have Marvel Unlimited yet?
No. I don't have time for that, unfortunately. I barely have time to read the books that I own, to let alone to get books off of my phone or iPad.
Yeah.
Al Ewing.
Oh, yeah.
Al Ewing?
Yeah.
Cool. I'll check that out. I'll see if it's on my Hoopla app.
Yeah, it's the Agent of Agent of Asgard one.
Okay, that's the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one that was like when he like vote for Loki or whatever. I don't remember what that was.
Yeah, that was part of it. That was towards the end of it. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I saw that in the trailer, so that must exist somewhere.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's move on. We have some George hating metal coming up. Then we're going to talk about some new releases that we're listening to, and we're going to tickle our geeks, and then we're going to wrap it up. So we'll be right back.
balls
means we're back to the show.
That was George Hates Metal. The song we chose this time was Enyuma Elis, which is from Dune's new album Etemen Inca, and that's spelled D-V-N-E.
I did not know it was pronounced Dune. I was like, is it divine? What is?
Yeah,
it?
I thought the same thing. I actually had to look it up to make sure. They're a five-piece British band. They're kind of described as the, or self-described as the British version to Mastodon.
I definitely hear a lot of Mastodon. I mentioned a lot of, it feels like a lot of like Nola Sludgy. So a lot of Crowbar, especially in his harsher vocals.
Yeah. There's a lot of elements of a lot of stuff. I mean, some of the songs have some black metal tones kind of mixed in. There's a lot of Mellow Death type stuff, you know, and you have some groovy stuff in there in places too. It's a very creative album with just tons and tons of layers. Really, the only complaint I have is that I think three of the tracks on the album have very, very quiet, lengthy intros. And it just, you know, like 20 or 30 seconds before the sound comes in and you're listening to it and you're like, wait, did I skip a track or what's going on? Like, you know, but if you can get past that little bitty creative discrepancy, I think you'll really enjoy it.
I love that creative discrepancy.
It's not, you know, typically progressive stuff like this is not my forte. It's not the kind of music that I seek out. But
I was okay before we get too far into it. But I was really surprised that you liked it and you brought it to our attention. But let's hear what Mr. George Hates Metal has to say about it.
So, Gary was saying, I was very surprised y'all both liked this. I thought this was something y'all both kind of scoff at and kind of call it mall metal or something along those lines. But
no,
you know,
it's not mall metal, but.
But anyway, the song that we listened to—I don't remember the name of the song, but it was all right. It's pretty good. It's worth garnering listening more, I imagine. I was interested enough to listen to it, so I'll give the rest of the album a whirl, and hopefully, I still enjoy it.
Yeah, when I first heard it, I immediately thought George was going to love it, and then the more progressive it got, I thought, well, Carrie's going to love this too. And then I kept listening, and I was like, well, shit, I love this.
It's just an evolution of love is what it is.
Right? It's just one of those rare albums that I think has mass appeal to a lot of people that like different types of metal, because there are so many different creative elements kind of forced in there. And there's a lot of layers, and there's a lot to gain from multiple listens. So I love these kind of albums you can listen to 100 times and find new things in them.
I didn't realize they were a Metal Blade Records band until just recently. And if you're interested in what we're talking about and you want to check them out, they're available. The album came out on March 19th, so it's out now. You can go listen to it on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you get your music from. But yeah, support these guys. They're really good.
Yeah, I think the whole album's available on YouTube as well. That's okay. Because I shared it.
Very cool. I'm glad we surprised George with something that he actually might like, and we surprised him even more that we actually like it.
Yep.
Yeah. that was the most surprising part.
So George, you mentioned earlier that you've been listening to a couple of new releases. What have you been listening to, man?
I've been listening to this band called Enforced. Have
okay.
either one of you heard of them?
Yep, I listened to it.
They have a new album out. I think it's their only album out, actually.
It is, yeah.
Enforced or Enforcer?
Enforced.
No, Enforced.
Okay.
ED. The name of the album is called Kill Grid. And I don't know, man. This album is just right up my alley. It's like thrash speed metal that's just a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah, I have not good. Heard these guys. I will check them out.
I listened to it while I was working out the other night. It's pretty solid.
Is it thrashy or the more death metal-y?
It's thrash. Yeah, it's thrash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Comparatively, George, I know you're not a big, you're not an expert on thrash, but you do enjoy it. Who would you compare him to?
Man, like amalgamation of Slayer and Testament, but like early days.
I was gonna say early Slayer stuff. That's really what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah,
I am down for that. I haven't heard him yet. It's out on Century Media Records. Interesting. Okay.
Actually, it's kind of like, song kinda like early Slayer meets Lamb of God.
Oh, okay. You lost me there, but you lost me, Lamb of God.
The first song I listened to from them that kind of really hooked me was Malignance. I don't know how to pronounce that word. Mm-hmm. Malignance.
All right. So I have something to listen to that's a George recommendation. Everybody check out Enforced. The album is Kill Grid. What else are you listening to?
So I kind of came across this other band that is like a ghost ripoff, but like a ghost light. And they're from Norway. So like a Norwegian ghost band. That reminds me a lot of Ghost. And but they also have their own little vibe to it. So I don't know really how to – I don't want to paint them in a corner and call them a complete ripoff. But at times they really do sound like a good copy. Anyway, the name of the band is called White Void, and the name of the album is called Anti, or A-N-T-I, Anti. The song that I would recommend for you to listen to if you really want to get into them is called The Shovel and the Cross.
Hmm. Another band I've never heard of before. Have you heard of them before, Justin?
I have not, but I'm adding it to my most recent Need to Listen To playlist.
Yeah, me too. When George is bringing a metal release that the metal detector has not heard. That's something
went wrong. Either it's really bad and no one cares for it, and I'm just being the one weirdo who likes it.
I'll tell you what went wrong. Well, no, what happened is I missed it completely because the last two Fridays I've been so occupied with work that I have not been making my list like I normally do. And then Saturday I'm scrambling to try to find everything I missed. So some things have definitely slipped through the cracks the last couple of weeks, but hopefully not too much good stuff.
Yeah, so those are the two things I've been listening to the most of recently. Plus, you know, my regular whatever's on my liked playlist. I kind of always just cycle through that.
Cool. What about you, Justin? I know you've been listening to some new music. What can you recommend us?
I've got a few that I really enjoy. If I had to pick like a top five list, several of these would be on it.
Let's do that. So,
Thundering Hooves.
What?
Thundering Hooves. They have an album called Vestiges that just came out.
Of course I do.
It's blackened death metal, kind of sort of like necrophobic, but with a little bit more of a doom element to them. Very, very heavy, deep tones throughout the album. It's pretty great stuff. I've been listening to that a lot. It's really awesome. Next is Aphotic Lair, and their album is called Aphotic Lair. When I first discovered these guys, I immediately was reminded of early In Flames stuff. And that's how I painted it to you guys. I don't know if you had a chance to check them out yet, Carrie, or not.
Aphotic Lair,
L-A-Y-E-R.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they sound a lot like pre-2000s In Flames, which was one of my favorite bands of all time. I loved In Flames in that era. And I really dig this album a lot. I can't say enough good things about it. Definitely one I'm going to keep going back to. Nightfall. At Night We Pray.
Yep.
Very unique. I don't really know how else to describe them.
They've been around for a long time. So like the late 90s, I believe. This is a different sounding, no, early 90s, actually. This is really a different, it's a little bit different sounding album from them. Mm-hmm. But I've listened to it a few times. I actually enjoy it a lot.
It has tons of different elements from tons of just different genres kind of mixed in with their stuff. I really like it. It's an album that I need to spend a lot more time with. I have it on my best of list, but I've only really given it one strong listen through.
I think it's something that even George might enjoy.
I think so. I think there are certain songs George would definitely enjoy. Yeah. I don't know if he'd like the whole album, but he should check it out. Next is Stort Rain, Impermanence. Yep.
That was actually one of the bands I was going to bring up.
It's fantastic. One of the best albums this year so far. Another one that's a personal favorite of mine that is probably not for everybody, but if you like melodic black metal like I do, Malist, M-A-L-I-S-T. The album's called Karst Relic. This is one of my favorite albums this year. Probably the second.
I listened to it on your recommendation, and yeah, I definitely agree. It's a really good album.
Apparently it's part of a trilogy of albums, and these guys have put out an album every single year for the last 3 years, and this is the third one. I haven't listened to the prequels yet, but our buddy Christian in the Metal Geeks chat had, and he said that, you know, they made some big steps on this album and improving. I can't get enough of this one. I've been listening to this one almost every time I'm in my car. You know, I listen to it a bunch when I work out or when I'm showering or whatever. It's definitely an album that I keep coming back to. I really love it. And then, of course, this Dune album that we just played for George.
Yeah.
It's become heavy in my rotation as well. So lots of good stuff. I mean, 2021, we're only in March, and I feel like this year's blowing 2020 out of the water. There's just so many great albums that have come out so far.
This is all the fruits of the labor that people had to get to do while they're in quarantine. So
yeah, they put together some great stuff. That's all I can say.
Those are all very cool recommendations. I have a couple. You mentioned a few of them that I was actually really into recently. That Malist band, I'm really digging that.
Cool.
The new Mariana's Rest, it's really, really good. If you like melodic doom death, like, you know, people that know me know I do, it's really, really good.
I liked it, but it was too slow for me. But I figured you would love it.
Yeah, I'm into that kind of shit, you know.
Yeah.
There's another band called Golgotha who've been around for a long, long time. And they put this EP out recently. And it's in along the lines of melodic doom death metal, very Paradise Lost-ish. But they did one new song and then like four songs remade from older albums. I really, really enjoyed that. Are the Metal Pigeon on the last episode of MSR Cast from this past weekend turned me on to a band that I thought I was not going to like called Love Bite. Right? Have you heard of them?
Yes.
have you listened to it?
I did listen to it.
Okay.
Actually, when I listened to it, I thought this is some stuff that Sean would love.
Yes.
But I didn't share it to the group because I was like, well, if he doesn't, then he's just going to make fun of me. So I didn't post it up there. But
so it's an all female Japanese band, which when I first heard that, I'm like, oh, they're going to be like, what's that one band that I hate?
Ladyboy?
Wait, what? That's a different band.
Ladyboy.
That's a different band.
It's the like the young Japanese girls, they sing about anime and stuff.
Yeah, I can't think of their name. I know you're talking about.
George, you knew who I'm talking about?
No.
I guess not. George, are you there?
Baby Metal.
Baby Metal. Thank you. I thought they were going to be very Baby Metal. These gals are very talented. It's very power metal forward, definitely influenced by Halloween. A lot of synth work in there. Definitely different than I thought it was going to be. George would probably freaking hate it, but it's okay.
Yes, I probably will.
I enjoyed it. It's different than I thought it was going to be. Let's see. You already mentioned the new Malist. This band called Ultima. Have you heard this band yet?
Yeah, I didn't really
Ultimate.
Ultima. I didn't
really dig it. I really? Did listen to it once. It wasn't for me.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. I thought that might be something that you were into a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know what it was, because I heard other people talking about it too with really high praise, and I gave it a listen and just didn't. It didn't click. So.
Okay. You also brought another band to my attention recently, that Silent Line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't get into it as much as you were liking it.
Well, I wasn't like loving it. It's not on my best of list or anything, but when I heard it, it reminded me a lot of Meadows End, which is a band that you did love.
Yeah. And I tried. Ago. Yeah. I definitely thought that when I was going into it, but I know there's just something about them that didn't really hit for me. You know what I mean?
It's like they're 80% there.
Uh-huh.
If they were just like 20% better, they'd be a great album.
What would the make other them one 20% better?
A different vocalist, probably.
Maybe. I did some reviews and I looked at their last album. Their last album was better reviewed and a much better mellow death album. I am not a fan of the vocals on this album as much. I like clean vocals in this style, but it didn't work. It was very, it's like, okay, let's copy exactly what Omnium Gatherum is doing, but not do it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like I'm totally with you there on the vocals. It's like some of these bands, you hear the music and the music is phenomenal, and then the vocalist just doesn't gel with you at all. And it's just very easy to dismiss them because of that. So I totally get it.
The other two bands that I really want to mention, Ephemerald.
That's a good one.
Oh God, that is such a great album.
Yeah. I thought I talked about them a couple weeks ago, so I didn't put them on the list today.
That's one that I've been listening to a lot. And if we're talking about really catchy melodic, you know, death metal, these guys are probably one of the best albums that came out this year so far for that. And then the band Einherjar. They've been around for a long time, but there's something about this new Einherjar album that I'm really digging. George, it's something that I think you would actually really enjoy.
From Einherjar?
Einherjar.
It is a very good album.
Sounds very German is what it sounds like.
It's very black and roll. I described it on the last episode of MSR Cast. If a black metal band grew up only listening to like the Rolling Stones or something and it was writing like pop music, that's what it sounds like. Very rock and black metalish, you know. But they've never really put the same type of album out in their career. So I really enjoy this album.
So
really
what would be the album that you would say to, is this a good introductory album?
I would start with a new one. Yeah.
It's the first one of theirs I've heard, and I like it enough to put it on my top list. So
it's called North Star.
Right now it's in my best of list. It's a good album.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. For sure.
And I'm pretty particular about black and roll stuff. Like a lot of it, I'm not a huge fan of, even though I love black metal.
It's really catchy. It really is.
Have you listened to Malice Divine yet, Kerry?
I listened to the Malice.
So there's this other band called Malice Divine.
No. Maybe. That sounds familiar now.
Anyways, they're one that I might have missed talking about last time that is also among my favorites from this year.
I'm looking at it right now. Is it, what is it? What kind of music is it?
It's melodic black metal.
Oh, okay.
Very catchy though. It's one that I've been listening to a lot.
I will check it out.
Felt like I should mention in case I hadn't yet.
There was one other one I wanted to mention. Oh, Beast, if you want to call them that.
I have that on my list too.
Yeah. It's very technical, overproduced death metal, but in a good way. Like the drums sound very much like not really over computerized, but like with Fear Factory, that kind of style. I like this band a lot. They're pretty good. I think, I don't know if George would like them or not, but yeah.
I like them. They're good.
I like Fear Factory.
But they're not, they're, I don't
really
know.
He's talking about the double
drum
bass,
sound. Yeah.
It's
very triggered sounding, which I usually do not like, but it works for them. It's like if you ever listen to the band called the Berserker back in the day, it was sort of like that style.
I only know one Berserker, and that was in Clerics.
Yeah, making fuck like a truck.
Would you like to make some fuck berserker?
Better berserker.
My love for you is like a truck berserker.
So if you're interested in hearing any songs or bands that we're talking about, I've reinstated the 2021 Metal Geeks MSR Cast Spotify playlist. And we will be posting that again in the show notes, and we'll post it again in the Metal Geek Society page on Facebook. So, you know, come check it out, follow along, listen to some of the music. You might discover something brand new that you've never heard before that you love. That's what we're here for.
I have not been doing my job adding to that yet.
No, you have not. I've noticed.
I need to do so.
So go through there this weekend, dude, or this week, whenever you have some time, add some new music that you're enjoying, and we'll share it again and let everybody know about it.
It's going to be 75 copies of Harakiri for the Sky. Enjoy, guys.
It probably will. You know, we played Harakiri for the Sky on the last episode of MSR Cast that came out. Uh-huh. It was a Sean pick, and he loved it. So,
it's the album of the year so far. I haven't found anything that beats it yet.
I don't know if I can agree on that, but that's my opinion. No big deal. All right, guys. Let's get into what's tickling our geek real quick, and then I'm tired. I want to go to bed. That sounds good.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
George, what is tickling your geek right now?
Well, I'm going out of town for the first time in a year, believe it or not.
So where are you going
for that? I believe we're going to Austin as we're going for Catherine's birthday. Since she is vaccinated fully, we can take a little bit of a risk and going into other places that is not exactly our safe bubble as much, but we're still going to take the right precautions,
when
socially distance and whatnot.
Yeah, of course.
This weekend.
Oh, where are you staying at? Have you picked a place yet?
Yeah, we already paid for the hotel. We're staying somewhere in downtown. It's going to be pretty cool.
Very cool. What are you planning to do? Any plans?
I don't know what's available there to do as of yet. So I'm not like 100% sure.
I recommend one place you got to go eat. You have to go to Jew Boy Burgers.
Oh, that's right. You went there for the...
Yeah, it's... Do you remember that the place we went to near that old, I guess, the video store that closed down, but you took us to like that breakfast place?
Yeah.
It's on that same street. It's right by there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, definitely make a trip out there. You could bring your own drinks if you want to, like bring your own beer or whatever. I know you don't really do that, but there's a nice patio outside. You can get your food, eat on the patio. Real nice.
Cool.
Great food, too.
Yeah, well, it's Catherine's birthday, so she kind of like gets to pick where we go, but I will definitely mention it to her. And
it's highly recommended.
No, Catherine, we're going to Jew Boy Burgers.
I don't care if it's your birthday. You do it.
Carrie told me I had to go. and then also this next Wednesday, Godzilla versus Kong comes out, and I will be at my couch watching it at home.
I think we should try to like do it at the same time and live tweet it.
I would love that. That'd be fun.
Okay. Yeah. Let's definitely give that a shot.
I'd be up for that. That'd be fun.
So speaking of going out of town, my geek tickle is going out of town as well.
Oh, yeah? Where are you going?
So we've been trying to plan our trip to Disney World for the past year. And now that we're vaccinated and we feel safe for going, we are going at the end of April so we don't lose our, number one, our tickets, which expire, and our airfare. So we're going for like 6 days, 7 days. And it just happens to work out. Since my work schedule has opened up, so I was able to go the week we're going to be spending our anniversary at Disney World. And it's a special one. It's our 15-year anniversary, our wedding anniversary. And we actually spent our honeymoon at Disney World. So it sort of works out.
That's very nice. So it's very cool, man. I'm excited for you. We've been talking about going to Disney as well. It's just a matter of when and where.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
all that stuff.
I mean, we feel better now. We're still going to, you know, practice social distancing. We're still going to wear a mask.
Apparently, Disney everywhere. Is very strict on the.
They are, over there, which is why I feel comfortable there. You know what I mean? They're very strict on everything. You can't even, if you're at a restaurant, you can't even have your mask down. If you're just sitting down, you have to only take your mask off if you're eating something, physically eating something.
Right.
I'm okay with that. It's to keep everybody safe right now.
I know. Wear a space helmet dome.
Maybe. I'll just get a fishbowl, you know. I just feel comfortable. I know it's different. A lot of the things aren't open. A lot of things aren't happening. But we just want to go. We haven't been in a long time. It's just we feel comfortable doing it finally. So we're going
to
spend some time.
Maybe your chances to ride Rise of Resistance will be
maybe. Better. You know, which is going to happen. The day before we leave, we're leaving on the 5th of May when we come home. We have reservations for Hollywood because you have to make reservations for every park now, even though if you buy tickets, still have to have the reservation to get in, which and then you can start doing park hopping after like 2 p.m. if you want to. But we have reservations for Hollywood Studios to go to Galaxy's Edge on May the 4th.
Hey, there you go.
I know it's going to be super crowded and all that kind of stuff. So we can at least be there for a little bit. And then if it's too bad, we can, you know, go off and do other things, but that'll be cool just to be there on May the 4th. You know what I mean?
It's like you planned it.
I did it actually.
May the 4th. Mm.
I truthfully did not plan it that way. No, I'm being honest with you, man. I didn't start realizing it was that day until we started looking at, okay, what do we want to do? Where do we want to go to each park? You know,
you're going to need to borrow a stormtrooper helmet to stay safe from COVID that day.
Can I? I need one. Yeah.
Along only if it's a scout trooper helmet.
Yeah. That's right. I want a scout trooper helmet. That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. So that's what's tickling my geek. I mean, we're super excited. Almost everything has paid off. I have a reservation to get do my own lightsaber and my own droid, build my own droid. So.
Oh, wow. So you're going to do both, huh?
Yeah. Maybe. We're still trying to get a reservation for Oga's, which we haven't been able to get yet. We want to go to the cantina and get
the lightsaber thing is like $150, right?
It's like $200.
$200. And then the droid thing is like another $100.
Yep.
All right.
Stimulus check, baby.
So wait.
No, not really. Our stimulus is going to stimulate.
He's like, add bacon to my lightsaber.
I want bacon and extra guac to my lightsaber, please. Even I don't like guacamole, but that's, you know.
Oh man, that's probably the funniest thing you've said all year.
Appreciate it.
I don't know about that. Go back and listen to some of the other episodes.
I haven't spoken to you. It feels like it forever. It feels like I haven't spoken to you guys.
It's true,
since
man.
Our New Year's episode. So,
my wife just commented. I guess she's watching. So, yeah, that's not what her stimulus check is going for. So it's okay. We know what it's going for, but
she corrected you real quick, huh?
Uh-huh. What about you, Justin? What's tickling your geek right now?
Honestly, not much. I'm the opposite of you guys. I'm glad to just be staying home. I'm glad I don't have to go to work physically. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, working out. And, like I'm done with Cyberpunk. I hope some expansion content comes out for that soon.
Yeah. Or you got to find a new game to play, dude.
Yeah. But nothing else is appealing to me. Like I'm not a hardcore gamer like you. I get into like one game every 6 months or something and that's kind of it. So unless something else comes along that just really grabs me.
And he becomes very obsessive about that one game.
I do. But I mean, if it's worth it, you know, I'm looking forward to Halo when that comes out for sure. Other than that though, I'm just listening to music and working out and playing the stock market and watching a lot of movies. That's my life. It's great.
It's a good life, man. Good life.
Can't complain.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. It's been a lot of fun. Anybody that's been hanging out in the room besides my wife, it's been a lot of fun. I want to, I guess we can do some house cleaning real quick, housekeeping as it is. So you can find us at our website at metalgeeks.net. We're on all kinds of social media at metalgeeks, msrcast@gmail.com. If you have a request of a topic or you just a comment about anything, let us know. We do want to hear you from you guys. If you're on Facebook, join us at the Metal Geek Society. We've been having a lot of fun in there, having discussions, sharing music, talking about movies, all that good stuff. We're, of course, part of the ESO network. check us out at esonetwork.com, where you can check out all the cool shows that make up that network. We're on all kinds of places where you can download podcasts. We're on Stitcher and Spotify and Apple Music and any of those podcatching places or devices that you use. Look for us there. What about George? Oh, I forgot to even do my banners. Nobody's watching, but who cares?
You can find me on all social medias at George Tripsis. Says it right there at the bottom. Oh, hold on. At the bottom.
But and, if they're listening, they're not saying it.
Yeah. Well, if they're listening, it's at George good. Tripsis.
That's where you find him, Kim.
You can find me there.
That's where you can find him, listener. Stuff.
And then also, you can check out our comic book, Speak No Evil, at Greybird Comics.
Hey, George, just throwing this out there. I don't know, our friend Omar, he's the one who helped us do our first issue. He recently turned his comic into an NFT. You know what an NFT is?
No.
It's a non-fungible token. It's basically any kind of artwork you can tie to cryptocurrency, and some of that stuff sells for tons and tons and tons of money. He's the first person in the world that's turned a comic book into an NFT. And really? I was kind of thinking about it, and if you were on board, maybe I'd look into trying to turn Speak No Evil into one.
I mean, sure. Do I get any money out of it?
I mean, if it sells, yeah, we'll split it evenly.
All right, sounds great. Whatever, I don't care.
Do I get any money out of it? My likeness is in it. I mean,
you'll get your 0.1%.
Okay, I'll take it. Whatever. Yeah,
there you go.
I'll take it.
I just thought it was a fun idea. So something to
I hope you guys. With. Come on. All right, Metal Detector. What about you, sir?
If you want to find me, I'm available on Twitter or Instagram as @comicaljc. And if you'd like to check out our podcast that I do with George and our friend Andy, it's available at mindfudgecomedy.com or also on all podcatchers as Mindfudge Comedy.
How's that Metal Detector blog coming along?
Well, it's a low priority thing, but it is something that I want to do eventually. So hopefully sometime soon.
And there we are. All right, guys. Is there anything else we missed? Anything else you wanted to talk about before we go?
Balls. Yeah. Everybody, message Kerry and tell him how much you want him to add the balls snippet to the end of the slideshow. I think it's really important.
Check out the Spotify playlist. We'll post that. It's been a lot of fun talking about real cool stuff with you guys tonight.
Everybody, it's been a lot of fun, guys.
Thank you, stay safe out there.
Having us on.
Of course.
Tell Catherine we said happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Will, most definitely.
Everybody out there, stay safe, stay healthy, stay well, and
don't keep be it crazy. Metal. And always keep it weird.
No, that's not it.
No? Keep it fun-ish. Funny? Kind of?
Keep it light?
No, that's not it. Totally not it.
No, I got it. Keep it Pink Panther.
Okay, but no.
Keep it Zack Snyder?
No, definitely
yes, that's
no.
It. Oh, I was certain that was it.
That's not it. Come on, guys. You know this. Yeah, I know you know it. What is it?
Do we, though? What is it, Kerry?
It's geeky.
Geeky. That's yes. Right. Zack Snyder's favorite word.
Maybe. So
I thought it was Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist, it is. Damn it. That would have been the most perfect answer, actually.
The pop culture.
Keep it Zeitgeist, everybody.
It's in the pop culture Zeitgeist. Come on.
Tune in next week for some more metal therapy.
That's an oxymoron statement. Pop culture is Zeitgeist.
You're an oxymoron.
I am an oxymoron. I am all-knowing oxymoron.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out again. Keep it metal.
And keep it zeitgeisty. Fuck. Keep it geeky.
Balls.
Keep it ballsy.
Ballsy.
Thanks to listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net.
Here at the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, we make every show from the finest ingredients.
Juicy interviews, fiery film nights, delicious desert island DVDs.
And pack it all into a slice of life in every episode.
Order up our specials now from your delivery guys.
Sean from Canada.
Dan from Kent in the UK.
And Paul from near Liverpool in the UK.
Here on the ESO Network.
The Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Serving you a slice of life.
Mm-mm.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.